The Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System is proudly sponsored by Innovate, the UK's best-loved trail shoe and apparel company. This month, we're giving you guys a chance to win a pair of brand new Innovate Trailfly trail running shoes. The Trailfly's 4mm rubber studs are perfect for gripping rock and hard-packed dry ground, and the graphene grip rubber outsole has also been improved from previous models to give better traction in wet conditions. These are my go-to day-to-day shoe, and I absolutely love them. To win a pair, simply head to our Instagram page, at Ultrasound System Pod. Click the link to enter in our link tree and wait for that lovely email from Innovate telling you you're a winner. If you can't wait that long, you can get a big old 15% discount on any full price kit you purchase from the website with the code BHUSS15. That's BHUSS15. Innovate in a great more like. On with the pod. Welcome to the Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System with me, Ali Bailey. Sadly, no Anna Harding, but I mean, there's no replacement for Anna Harding, but I have kind of got a replacement. And that replacement is the man, legend, 100-kilometre finisher, Mr. Dean Cox.
Good morning, good morning.
Oh, listen to that voice. You all right there? You okay, hon?
I'm good. Yeah, voice is going a bit iffy today, but...
You sound a bit like a pop star after a festival.
Yes, I think if I talk very low, the low voice works more, but I sound like I'm using an AI generator to talk.
Sound like you're working on a sex line. I imagine. I mean, I don't know. I've never been on one.
No judgment if you do. If you want to, as your life choices.
I was more along the lines of I'd quite like to work. I had a Norwegian friend called Meta at university, and she used to work on sex lines, and she never told us. She just sat in her bedroom for like hours and hours and hours at night, and I never worked out why she had so much money. And then one day she was like, well, I'm working on sex lines. And I was like, that's a good idea.
Well, it's harder than you think. No pun intended.
That's what she said.
Because from what I've gleaned, you have to get the client on the line for as long as you can, because they call up, they've been waiting and on hold, so they're ready to go within 3 seconds. And you go, now, tell me about this. Let's go slower. Let's do this. Order the sexy voice.
Perfect. We are 2 minutes into this podcast and already people are like, this isn't what I thought it would be at all. So let's just rewind in the words of... The Artful Dodger. Do you remember the Artful Dodger? Are you too young?
I do. I remember him from the play Oliver.
No, not that Artful Dodger. I was talking about UK garage legend, the Artful Dodger.
Yeah. The garage and grime scene didn't really enter my zeitgeist because I was more into like, oh, I don't know, Christina Aguilera.
The musicals.
And musicals, yes. Oh, God, the musicals. Love the musicals. But yeah, unfortunately not. But do tell me.
Okay, rewind when the crowd say Bo Selector. Tell me about the start of this. So for listeners that don't know, if you don't know what we're doing, today we're doing the debrief, Dean's debrief of his 100-kilometre epic run from London to Brighton, which happened but a couple of days ago. And Anna have been training Dean to do this run. I'm a running coach and Anna is a strength coach. And we thought to ourselves, do you know what would be cool to have someone who we can actually follow on the podcast in real life, who is an actual real person that is a tangible object? So it isn't somebody that we don't know anything about. It's someone we know everything about. It's someone that's right at the beginning of their ultra journey. And we want to see the highs and lows of how that training works. Me and Anna are really interested in this from a work perspective, but I wanted to show the listeners what that work actually looked like, and I think we've been quite successful in that. So Dean, do you want to tell us about how all this started? Go from the beginning.
Sure. Firstly, I want to change my Tinder bio to tangible object.
Tangible object. Perfect.
It's the only way forward now. I lost a lot of weight in lockdown. I went through, my father passed away and had a bad breakup. So what do you start doing? Running. Away from problems to start off with.
Ops. And
ops. It's the only way forward, literally. And I did Couch to 5K, finished it, stopped. Did it again, finished it, stopped. had a bad mental healthy 2022 Christmas. Came to January and I went, Jane, you're struggling to become a functioning human currently. Go and do something that you can focus on that doesn't involve eating and doesn't involve work. So I thought, oh, I'm gonna do a half marathon. There was one locally in Forest of Dean. I thought, let's just go and do that. So I did a very odd, haphazard training, which involved a few runs and a few long bits here and there.
Where did you get that haphazard training from?
Oh, my brain.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, I thought, I know what I can do. Just I do couch to 5K 2 times, and then I'll do it 2.5 times, and then I'll do it 3 times in one journey. So I had Sarah Millican talk to me for like an hour and
Christ, that must have been
a half.
endurance in itself.
Oh, I know. She's very sweet though.
She's got a very high-pitched voice.
She does, unlike me today. And in that training journey, one of our friends said, "Hey, I'm running Amsterdam Marathon. Who wants to run it with me?" And I went, "Sure, I'll do it." And this was in the beginning of February. And at this point, my longest run was 10K. And he went, "Mate, what the F are you doing? What are you doing?" I said, "Ah, I don't know." So I hunkered down. I did a load of half marathons in that year. And before even getting to Amsterdam in the October, I'd already put Copenhagen as my thing to look forward to in the spring. Then I won a place at London
Ooh.
Marathon. Yeah, I know. First time ballot person. Everyone hates me. And then this 100K Ultra came up. And the problem is, I had started listening to a certain podcast where these two amazing women had normalized talking about ultras and about how, not how they're easy, how they're achievable.
I love the
And
women's running podcast as well. It is good, isn't it?
they are fun. And I thought, I'm gonna do this. And there was an offer code that came up, it was like 40 quid off. And, oh, I'll just book that. How hard can it be? Oh hum.
How hard can
And
it be, Dean? I
if you saw the blisters on the bottom of my feet, you'd know.
think that's my fault. I kind of think that's my fault, but we'll get into that later.
But
Right.
yeah,
The
at
thing is,
that
right,
point.
this isn't that normal. So with the booking of the Ultra, did that happen before you started listening to the podcast or after?
After, so I listened to you. I found you at episode 3. So I listened to episode 3, then 1 and 2. And it was after episode 4 that I booked
Right. So
it.
it took 4 hours
Yeah.
of listening to the podcast
Weeks.
to book an ultra. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. And then on episode 5, you put into the zeitgeist. Hey guys, is there anything you want to talk about to give us like content stuff? What can we do, like conversation topics? I was like, hey, you don't know me, but I've booked all of these races. I don't know what I'm doing. Can you please talk about things like navigating, nutrition, hydration, what kit to wear? And I had a lovely email come back from you saying, you know what the fuck you're doing, do you? Can I arrange in and which is true, which was true, absolutely true. He said, can I arrange a phone call with you? And I went, oh, thank you so much, but I can't afford you. No. And you went, no, what, let's have a quick chat. So we did. And then that was in the beginning of September.
I'm so glad that you know all the dates because I don't. I'm just so shit with dates. So this is great. Beginning of
Yeah.
September, right.
And then you're like, right, so let's do nothing until after Amsterdam, which is my first marathon.
I
And
didn't want responsibility, guys, for him fucking it up. So I was just like, I'll give him his own responsibility for fucking it up. Spoiler alert, he didn't fuck it up.
No. And then the week after Amsterdam, we got back and we started a 30-week training plan, and here we are.
Tell me about. So you obviously have, you have me on the old ones and twos. That's the running and the running. And then you have
Yep.
Anna dropping the beats in the background, which is the, this is a great analogy, which is the strength and conditioning. Had
Yes.
you ever done any strength and conditioning, and did you know what it was?
I knew of the things. I knew what a squat was. I knew what a dumbbell
No, you
was.
didn't know what a squat was, though, did you? You thought you knew what a squat was. Like,
Well,
this is a thing with S&C. Everyone's like,
the
oh, yeah, no,
goblin squats.
I do some squats. And then you realize actually you've been doing it wrong your entire life. And when you do
Yeah.
an actual
So
squat, you're like, that's really hard.
I went to a gym. So when was this? 2022, like summer. I joined a gym and a very nice man showed me around some machines. I went, I just need like how to use these machines. So he showed me like a push, a pull, something and a something.
Are you sure you were at a gym and not a dance class?
It
A
felt that
push, a
way.
pull, a twist, and a jump.
Yes, there were definitely sequins involved. And I used to go to that. I used to literally walk uphill on a treadmill for 40 minutes, do these like 10 minutes of things on machines on very light weights, and then go home thinking I've won at life.
Well, to be fair, everyone starts somewhere, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And as a formerly very overweight queer person going into a gym full of like what I call croissant men, men who are, yes, it's the men who have arms that are actually wide for their shoulders, look like upside down croissant, who wander around like they own the place. That was quite terrifying. But to go into that gym and then start doing things, it was a lot. So I think a lot of people in my boat will stick to the cardio things and then go home.
Yeah.
But yeah, so but the short answer is no, I had no idea what I was doing, but I was very open to suggestions. Every time Anna would give me any sort of session, I would just Google everything. I would sit in the car park and watch four or five how-to videos on YouTube and then go in like the confident fucker and go, I know what I'm doing. You do this, you put this in this hole, and then you do this.
But this, wow.
It wasn't
So
the gym, I found out.
I was going to say, it's fun to stay at the YMCA. So how did you get over that fear of gyms then? I mean, was it a fear of gyms, like, or was it just a confidence thing?
It's a confidence thing. The gym isn't scary. It's the fear of being watched. If you were in a gym completely alone and you could do whatever you wanted, all the time you wanted, more people would do the things they want to do.
Yeah, that is the dream, the gym on your own. Jesus Christ, I'd have
Yes.
such a good time.
The amount of people, especially women who've listened to this podcast, who've messaged me saying, I can't believe, oh, I'd love to have your confidence in the gym. I was like, why don't you have confidence in the gym? They said, I had one woman who said, I've been going to the gym for 6 years. I have never once picked up a dumbbell. I was like, mate, I know. I was like, oh, I wish I could just help that person. So I'll go with you. I'll help you.
Do you know
Because
why? Did she tell you why?
it's the idea of people looking at her. The idea of people judging her, laughing at her, that feel like she doesn't belong, feel like she's like, you pay the same money they do. You have every right to be there. And also, they started somewhere. You've started somewhere.
Yeah, did you find it? So when you were in the gym, did anybody ever say anything to you, or did you just get left alone? Like, did you have any bad
So I usually
experiences?
have my headphones on and some loud, very loud music, some ladies squealing most likely. And I'll just sort of look zone out into the machine. So I sort of don't pay attention. In my old gym, though, my first gym that I joined when I was heavier, he was an older guy. He would be there between like 10 and 12 in the morning and would just walk past you going, you're doing that wrong, and saunter on.
Sounds like a treat.
Wouldn't tell you how you're doing it wrong. He's probably about 70. I'd like the vest went down that just covered the nipples.
Oh yeah, I know that guy. I know that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy. So was it literally just a case of putting your headphones on and concentrating on what you were doing, or was there any like little tips and tricks that you used to make yourself, feel like the gym was your place?
It was going in and normalizing it essentially. Going, this is just like going for a run, wherever you do the run, you wear your kit, the shoes you wear, you get on with it, headphones on, you get into that routine. And the routine is that you get in the routine and going to the gym, which was you go to the gym, I'd use a little warm up on the cross trainer on the elliptical machine. And then we go and find a mat, go into the big like flat area. I said, go in there and just headphones on. You got a mirror in front of you. Every other doesn't exist. Get on with it. So it's just about
Plank
zoning
like a
out.
motherfucker. That's what you were doing. You were planking like a mofo.
Yes. How are your tip on?
And not as good as yours. How long is your plank? How long can you hold the plank for?
The last time I tried it was 45 hours.
45 hours. Fuck, wow. How'd you
Yes.
find the time, Dean?
Do you know what? I don't quite know. I don't quite know.
That's incredible because I can do about 90 seconds maximum and I lose form after about 45. But
No,
my side plank is something to behold.
and no side planks I can't do. I don't do very many of them. And after you texted me yesterday, I gave it a go. I was like, "Fuck me, what's wrong with this person?"
Yeah,
Okay.
that's what Pete makes me do. But he's also makes me do these things called Copenhagen side planks, where you get a bench and you
Okay.
like clamp your legs around the bench, like so you're like
Right.
in a right angle, and then you lean there. And I've never felt like so much of a prick in the gym as doing those. But it works for abductors, so it's quite the thing. I actually don't think it does work for abductors. I think it just makes you look like a dick. And I think it's one of those things. He's like, if I ask her to do this, I wonder if she'll do it and film it. And the answer is yes, I will. So that's your next thing is the Copenhagen side plank. Good luck.
Hooray.
Right. So
Congrats to me.
you're going to the gym and I've given you this running plan. When I give you the running plan, right, and my running plans tend to be in sets of 3 months, right? When you look at it, what were your first thoughts?
I thought how easy it was. I thought, I'm not running much at all. In that first week, I thought, wow, that's wow. And then I realized you wrote it in miles, not kilometers.
Correct.
I
Because we're not French or
thought,
triathletes. So
I mean, I got bonjour.
please put it back into kilometers. Please just put KMs. Don't even change the numbers.
Have you not noticed I booked an ultra in kilometers?
Yeah, I did. But did you not notice? Actually, do you know what the mile markers were in kilometers this time, weren't they?
Yes, you were.
When I did it, there were miles. I was very confused by the whole situation. So you looked at this, you looked at the plan, you thought that's nice, that's not very much running, and then you realized it was miles.
Yes, and in all fairness to you, it was so when I was training for Amsterdam, my like top mileage per week were between like 30 to 35 miles ish, and then going on from Amsterdam every week was between 35 and 40 miles. But okay, let's just keep this going. And to get in my head around going for a 15 or 20 mile long run every week, week on week, through winter, I was like, okay, let's just trust the process, get on with it, in the nicest possible way, when the weather's getting a little bit shitty. But I think with all of the things, with all of your work and Anna's work that you've given me, I was just really, really grateful to have the support. So I almost felt like contractually obliged to get on with it. It's like,
Just
you cannot moan.
so you know, listener, there was no contract involved here.
But I felt so duty bound to make you two proud and to succeed for myself as well, and to really attack this with such a positive attitude that I thought I'd just go and do it and enjoy every moment. And there were moments that I wanted to I wasn't very happy, and there were long runs that I was not enjoying, which I think we all have. But I just really tried to just embrace the moment because I thought I'm never going to have this sort of opportunity again. I might do, I may do. It's something new, but
You're so young, like you probably are going to have lots of opportunities. But I think that first training block, that really, the first training block for a big ultra, like a big 100K job or something you're really focused on, that is a training block of joy because you hit the highs, you hit the lows, you hit the midpoints. Do you remember a point on that training block where you were like, I think I've got this, where everything clicked and you were like, this is great?
Yeah, I did a 20 mile run in the middle of December, and it was cold, and I had some Percy Pigs in my bag which froze, which really hard to eat.
Whoa! Brutal. That's
I
brutal
know,
training.
epic.
Frozen Percy Pig. My Percy Pig's froze. That's like
I
the cover of the
know,
Sun.
I know, such a middle class thing. Percy Pigs froze. Oh, And I did a 20 miler and I got to like 32K, was a 29, And I was running down the road, the long tree road back to my house. And I was like, I'm running and I'm doing okay. And I'm not like hobbling and dying walking at this point. Like, wow. And then I got to Sainsbury's, not so Tesco, that's at my house. And I hysterically cried because I was so happy. And yeah, because all of my long runs were out of Amsterdam all ended in me like get to like three quarters of the way through. And then going, I want to go home now.
So what was the difference between the mentally, like what was the difference between the training for Amsterdam and then the training for the ultra stuff? What do you think it was because you had someone telling you what to do?
Probably. I definitely think that having a plan just to go, okay, and also having someone there to go, this isn't great. Can I ask you this question about this? And also knowing that the person who's giving me the plan is the professional who knows what they're doing.
Some people will believe
Yeah.
anything.
But yeah, ha having an experienced runner who knows, the ins and outs of these things, and then having Anna's work, for somebody who's a qualified person that she is.
Don't forget, she's an ultra runner as well. I think having
Oh, of course.
a strength trainer who is a runner too, is very different to having someone that isn't, because a lot of the time I've gone to do PTs and they've been like, they sort of assume that you want to get hench or you want to lose weight, especially as a woman. They think that you want to lose all your weight. They want your ass. You want to get an ass. You want your boobs to look big. And it's like, I don't want any of that shit. All I want to do is be able to run up a hill. And they're like, what? So I think it's really important that when you're looking at strength and conditioning, you're looking at, and you're going to, maybe you go into a gym or you get yourself a coach, then try and get somebody that does understand the world of the ultra runner, because it's very different to the world of the power lifter.
Well, yes, because I was talking to my sister does boot camps, and my nephew is a weightlifter. And we were talking about what we're doing in the gym the other day, and they couldn't believe that I was doing like, 3 times 15 reps of something. And they're like, wow, we do three. You're like, yes, because you're trying to get the big ones. Because I'm
Yeah.
doing much more because I'm training to be an endurance athlete. And you're training to get muscles. Different thing. But it, all valid, all have to be valid. Just we're training for different things. And I think a lot of gym PTs are nothing like Anna, because none of them would even think about one of the gym guys I chat to, a PT there, he's like, yeah, I'm training for my first 5K. And he's like my age. And I was like, okay, how's it going? He went, awful. The other day I ran for 12 minutes. I hated it. I went, wow. Oh.
It's different strengths for different folks, isn't it?
It is. And he's like, he's like very extremely attractive, six pack, very tanned, blonde hair, about 30. Like all the girls love him, but he can't run for shit.
Oh.
But he's like,
But imagine him running like Phoebe from Friends, flapping his arms.
it's not far off that, honestly.
Amazing.
Oh.
So you had a moment outside Tesco's in December where you were like,
Jeez.
this is, in the words of Martin McCutcheon, this is my perfect moment. Maybe we should put that on the playlist. And then tell me about some of the terrible times, because there must have been terrible times as well. Some of the sad times.
Oh, there were. So there was literally the week after that,
Oh,
on
yeah.
Christmas, when we were talking about bits and bobs, and you said, how are you feeling? So I'm just so tired. And you went, have a week off. I was like, I can't do it. Yes, you can. It's Christmas. Have a week off. I was
Nice
like,
of me.
no, I know, I know.
You must have caught me on an off week.
I know. Uncharacteristically. And that helped. I did worry though that I was going to forget everything, forget how to run, forget what legs were. And a few moments after that, it was about, what was it? It was the week of the National Running Show where every single I had to do 18 miles, and every single day that week at home was torrential rain. And I had one day off in the week apart from the Saturday of the show. And I was like, and it was a 100% chance of torrential rain from 6 a.m. until midnight. When I don't want to go out in this rain because I'm a sensitive soul. So I did it in the gym. They didn't tell you.
Oh,
I know. I know.
gross. That's
I like.
worse.
I know. I remember sitting in that deck chair at the National Running Show, and I told Hayley, and she went, "You're a monster." And I was like, "I know, it was
You did
horrible."
18 miles on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that once for the indoor relay during lockdown. We had this thing called the indoor relay with the National Running Show, where we would like pass the baton like virtually, and I had to present, but I was also doing the accumulator. So I was like, well,
Oh,
today I haven't
Christ.
got time to go out. It was boiling, it was May. So someone lent me this treadmill, and it was a French treadmill that only went up to 10K, and then it recalibrated, and it was so slim. It was like 50 centimeters wide. So
Christ.
my little muffin tops touched the sides of it when I was running. It was like running on a fucking supermarket conveyor belt. And it was horrendous. I had 18 miles on it. My watch calibrated 23 miles. So I'm like, who's right? I don't fucking know. But it was the worst experience of my life. And sometimes I get PTSD when Holly makes me do a treadmill session in the gym, like a Hills one, but they're never more than like 40 minutes. But that took a fucking long time. So well done. But like, you're not adverse to rain now, are you? Did that not teach you a lesson that it's actually better just to go out in the rain?
I know, I know. I think I realize it's not too bad. And I know you always say weather is neutral, just prepare for it.
Weather is just weather. That's all it is.
Yep, it is. And it's now much better. I mean, my very, very first run that I did in Couch 5K, so it was in January, like 3 years ago, was in the snow.
Oh, what a
It
delight,
was,
though. Snow running's fun.
I know, but it was, I didn't know what the hell to wear. So I had like a cotton t-shirt and some old like swim shorts. I didn't own any kit or any running shoes. So I just went out and it was like, run for 60 seconds, walk for 90 or something. And I was like,
You must
okay,
have
let's go do
frozen
that.
to death.
I mean, I was at that time, I was like 23 stone, so I could have sweated in negative degrees, so it was fine.
That is true, though. At least you were keeping yourself warm, being sensible. You had your own mandatory kit.
I did. If not, eat more cake. Here you go, more layers.
So let's talk about your like the stuff that you did while you were training. So you put in some events and you got introduced to the Big Bear Paul Albin races, right?
Well, race director formerly known as Paul Albin. I'm not quite sure what he is now.
Dr. Albin. It's Paul, he
Doctor.
said it's not Paul Albin. It's Paul Albin. Paul Alban. Alban.
Oh.
Like Dr. Alban. Paul Alban. That's what we have to
Oh,
say now,
man.
apparently. But we'll see when he comes on.
Uncle
I don't know.
Paul.
Uncle Paul. Fun times, Uncle Paul.
Well,
So
I did the Big Bear events. I did your meetup in November.
yeah.
So officially, my first long run on the training plan was that meetup.
Was it
It was. All
amazing?
comes full circle.
And how long was that long run?
20 miles.
Well, that's good.
The week after Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah.
You're like,
Oh,
crack on,
yeah.
mate, crack on.
Well, I was training you for 100K. I wanted to break you. I was trying to break you. I don't think I managed to break you, did I? Like, you didn't get injured.
No, the last couple of weeks I've had like a little thing in my hip. I kept going, what is that? And then anything was like, what is that? What is that? What is this? But no, I got to the start line. Fine. No problems at
We'll
all.
get into the race in a minute because you got to the finish line fine as well. So you went and did that Big Bear event, then you got quite into Big Bear, didn't you? You were having quite a nice time with the old Big Bear dudes.
Yeah, so I've done five of their events now, I think. No, four. And yeah, it's really nice. Paul's been such a lovely, generous person to me. He's answered so many of my DMs on Instagram and been really, really, really supportive. So I'm very grateful for Paul. Speaks very highly of you two as well.
Yeah, well, some people, Stockholm syndrome. So tell me about those Big Bear events then. Did they surprise you by the people that were there? Did you make some new friends? Like, who goes to
Yeah.
those events?
So, what I liked about so my previous foray into racing and runs in general, it's all timed events, were all half marathons, usually in cities. And in those places, everyone's going fast and no one talks. And it's all about gels and running so fast you vomit. And I thought, okay, this is just the culture. of running. And then we went to Paul's events, and everyone's having a nice time. Everyone's having now biscoff sandwiches.
Oof.
I know.
Actually, I'll
I
talk to you about
know.
that in a minute. Did
And
that surprise you? Did it surprise you how different it was?
it was, and then the people, everyone started talking to me and said, "How's your race going? How are you up to? What are you training for?" And it was so much more. And then also, it was a bit intimidating to start off because everyone seemed to know each other. I was like, "Hello, hello, I'm Dean. Hello, who are you?" But once I sort of got it, and then, but the last one I went to, which was that 50 mile attempt, which was not my finest hour. I went along and I probably recognized 50 people, which was so lovely.
How
Like
many
doing
people? How
laps.
many people recognize you, Dean?
And about 45,000, I'm not quite sure. The
Yeah.
local celebrity.
There was a
Yeah,
roadblock. There was a roadblock getting into Southsea Forest. Paps were
think.
there. The Northampton Gazette were there. Northampton FM were there. Is it in Northampton? I don't know.
It could be.
Yeah,
I follow a sat nav when I arrive at six
but
a.m.
it's a glorious thing, isn't it, when you're like,
It is.
to be able to get involved in a community that quickly, like, do you feel like you are quite embedded in that now?
Well, I do. I'm giving another one. It's a podcast meetup discount code on Facebook. join the group. On the 22nd of June for Trail Fest. Yeah, I do feel that it's the people who go there are just the loveliest of people. It's a real mixed bag. It's all demographics of people. It's all abilities. It's all shapes and sizes. It's very, all super inclusive. I was like, this is what running communities should be. This is what things should be. This is how events should be held. Paul's really, really ultra approachable. The volunteers are always amazing. Not a single bad word to say about their events. And yeah, I'd happily go multiple times a year to their events forevermore.
Good, because you are. Okay, so talk to us about the 50 miler. Because do you know one of the things that someone said to me at the weekend? They said to me, the best thing about the story is that it was real. Like the fact that you came to us and you asked for some advice and it was real. Like, I love a green runner, as in someone that doesn't know what they're doing. I also love the green runners, obviously.
Yes.
But I love someone that isn't spoiled by like their own training. I love someone that's young. I love someone that's enthusiastic or like a sponge, like willing to learn. Because it's just a joy to coach them, especially if they work hard. But everything has to come together, like for it to be like, ah, oh, this is why I do this stuff, right? I also like extremely damaged people. You've got to either be extremely damaged or green as fuck. In the middle, not that interested. So, but with you, there were failures. There were things that, and failure isn't a scary word. I know people be like, don't call it a failure, but failure is just a word. Like failure. It's the value we put into the word failure that means something, right? So if we just defail it and like make it not a dirty bad word, it loses its power. And there were things here that didn't go right for you on this journey, and I think that is the piece that will inspire people. So do you want to, it wasn't perfect, your training wasn't perfect. There were times where I
No.
said take a week off because you're absolutely fucked. Like, and that's what happens when you train. You get super tired. And if you don't have a coach, sometimes you push through that tiredness, and that's when you can end up losing your mojo, getting injured, and just being fucking miserable. Sometimes it's right to take rest because rest is also part of training. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about was that Big Bear event and how you handled it. So tell us about the 50, which was going to be the longest run in your training block, wasn't it?
It was going to be yes. So it was, I think you will agree that I'm not the most experienced trail runner. I do a lot of my training on the road. I know I should have basically in the lead up over winter, just a little bit more in fields, up and down hills, but I didn't. My own choices in hindsight. But the Big Bear event was a 50 miler. It was 8 mile laps through a big sort of foresty area. And there was quite a lot of wet moments. There was quite a lot of sort of knee deep puddles you had to sort of trudge through. what felt like 3 to 4 miles of just mud trudging through. And I met your lovely client, Steph, there, and she gave me a pep talk before we got in. She said, everything be fine, just have a nice time.
Steph
And
can be quite scary. I saw her. She had pace face on at the event, and she was like, "I'm like Jesus Christ." Now she works. She's got quite a high powered job, and I can totally see why now because it's like, "Fucking hell, you're scary."
and
I don't want a pep talk off Steph.
but the 50 mile starters, there's only about I want to say 12 of us, probably more than that. It felt about like 12. And I realized they all looked like, aesthetically, you look like proper trail runners. And off they went through this mud, and I realized very early on, oh, I'm at the back. Oh, I'm really far at the back. And then I hit the deck at about 3 miles in the mud. And I was
Yes.
like, and my exact words out loud were, Dean, why the fuck are you here?
Oh,
Oh
no.
my God. And I was really out, and I was really, really nervous about it going to, just because of the distance. And I thought, okay, well, if I can do the first like 13 K, 8 miles, if I can do that in like an hour and a half, I can do that, keep going. And the first lap took me 2 hours 10, because I was just trudging through, and I didn't quite realize the fatigue on my body would take to get through all the mud, just purely from being inexperienced in that environment. And after the first lap, I looked at Paul, I went, I don't think today is my day. And I did the second lap, and I got back, I was like, okay. And at that point, all the speedy half marathoners and marathoners were all running out, all running past me, all having a lovely time, running through the water. Like, how are you doing this? In hindsight, if I'd had my poles with me, I think I would have had a much better experience on the day.
100%, yeah.
Yep, no, didn't bring them, so didn't think I'd need them. So stupid and
It's not stupid.
inexperienced.
It's all like this is the thing, right, about the whole failure. It's like if you want to be really good at something, you have to be willing to fail because you wouldn't know about poles. You wouldn't know about innovate graphene grip shoes. You wouldn't know about like any of this stuff if you hadn't gone out there and not known about it. You just wouldn't know, right? So I think this is all really, really good. And you know, that feeling of, oh, what am I even doing here? You cracked on though, didn't you? You did crack on after that.
So I ended up being on my feet for about 9 hours, which ended up being 37 miles, I think, total. And I came back to the start, and everyone was finishing all of their races. The first finisher back was from the 50 mile, I came back in, and I said to Paul, went, I think I'm done. I think I'm done. I could have gone for another lap and got it in before whatever's. I wouldn't have made the cut-off point to go on to the last lap to do the 50 miler. I could have done one more. In that moment, I went, I just don't want this enough today. In hindsight, I do kind of regret not going on that last lap. But in that exact moment, I made the right decision for me, mentally and physically. My feet were starting to blister. I didn't pay attention to bad. But my feet have been wet for at least 8.5 hours at that point, drying out, getting wet, drying out, getting wet. I was like, I just don't think I can do this today. So I went to the car and I hysterically cried, left her a voice note about how sorry I was. And you went, mate, it's fine. So I went back, went to the hotel, realized there was no bath, cried again.
Oh my God, that's the worst, isn't it? That's
No,
the worst.
drove to McDonald's. The ice cream machine wasn't working, so
Oh my
we couldn't
God.
have a milkshake. So I was like, I just wanted a milkshake. All I wanted was a milkshake.
Death
And
by
she
a
was like,
thousand
no.
pinpricks, guys. This is how massacres happen.
And then the next day, I got home, and one of my friends texted me saying, so congratulations on your first 50 miler. I said, I didn't finish it. But I then sat with it for the day. I was like, okay, let's try and rationalize this. Let's try and think about this. I said, it's not a failure. Paul kept saying, you haven't failed a 50 miler, just successfully completed a 50K. I was like, I know, but that wasn't the plan. And the answer is, that's okay. Sometimes life doesn't go how you want it every time. And that was my first race. I hadn't reached the end.
I mean,
And
like the way you coped with that, I thought, here we go, I'm going to have to do the old pep talk on Zoom. But actually, the way that you dealt with that was incredible. It was so grown up. I know that might make me sound like I'm being, what's that word? Oh, you know that word. I'm very bad with words. But when I say grown up, I have 50,
Mature.
60 mature. Well, not even mature. Like I have 50, 60-year-old men who just don't, who are like, oh God, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And I'm like, honestly, it doesn't matter because you did get something out of it. And it wasn't like you were running around going, I hate this. I don't want to do that 100K. I hate running. It's the worst thing on earth. It was just a new learning experience. I think you did so well with taking the good parts out of that. And, looking back at it and going, saying to yourself, would Dean 5 years ago have believed that Dean could just go and run 37 miles on a muddy forest track?
Oh, Dean, 5 years ago, you would have laughed in your face. The idea of running anywhere, the idea of getting out of the chair. Just, yeah.
So I think it's really important to look back on, and for that's for everybody to be like, doesn't go the way you want it to go, that doesn't really matter, because the thing about life is that's what happens in life, isn't it? Doesn't always go the way you want it
Exactly.
to go. Did it worry you that you hadn't done that 50 miles?
Massively. Massively. I kept thinking, okay, that was 9 hours, and I did that amount. So I'm going to be doing like almost double that distance, probably at a similar pace, because that's how I keep saying to myself, going that slow. It's not slow. It's an ultra. There are hills. There are muddy bits. You stop to eat, stop to drink, stop to do things. It's okay to go whatever it might be, a 16-minute mile. It isn't the end of the world. It's not. You're not going at marathon distance pace. It's all about speed. It's about endurance. But the idea that I got to like the 60-kilometer mark on Saturday and said, "Oh, we are now going fully into the unknown, and I've still got to do another marathon." Here we go. Yes, honestly, it was Steph and Danielle. They had this little thing. They're like, "Just a marathon to go, just a marathon to go." But
Yeah,
yes, just
that's the problem with experience pacers, is they're really fucking annoying.
that.
So let's talk about the actual event then. I think that on the taper you were really well behaved. You were so like good about it. Were you relieved? Did you enjoy the taper?
There was 1 week. Wow. So the week after Copenhagen, I had to do a, oh golly, I don't know, 30 miles or something with a
Yeah,
half
probably
marathon.
something gross.
Yeah, with a half marathon, it's a long run. And I got back because we went away, flew over there. Monday, we had a hilarious terrorist attack situation that we managed to circumnavigate.
They're funny, aren't they, those terrorist attack situations? They are fun. You've got to laugh. Yeah, perfect.
And then went back to work, and I didn't have a day off that week, apart from being away. I was like, how am I going to fit 30 miles into this on a really heavy work week? And I'm absolutely battered. I got it all done. I did have a slight breakdown on Instagram on like Thursday evening, thinking, I don't think I can do it. I'm so tired. But bashed it out, got it done. And then the next week after, it was 10 miles. I was like, I
Total
was like,
mileage 10 miles, long run
exactly.
five.
Yes. And then the week of the event was, if you could just do nothing, that'll be great. I was like, I can do.
I think I had to give you
Absolutely.
instructions on even walking around is doing something. Please don't do anything. And you're like, I do have to go to work. I was like, yeah, just tell everyone else to do the work.
I mean, I did do like some. I did do like 2 10-kilometer walks every evening. I was like, I need to get my steps in. Come on, Dean, do something. But I was like, and then, but that was on like Monday, Wednesday, then nothing for a few, and then yeah.
So tell us about the big day then, big event. I mean, me and you talked about this a lot, haven't we? And I've been like, listen, mate, it's just a long run. It's just a long, fun,
Yeah.
good, cool day out with a load of people you've not met yet. And it doesn't matter what happens at the end of it. And I was really hoping that you would take that on board. But how was it? Tell us about what happened.
Washed it.
Nailed it.
No, I
Nailed it, mate.
and then yep, done. Yep, move on. No, it was. I described it the other day to somebody, saying how it was at times horrific, at times soul destroying, but the most glorious day of my life, genuine to date. It was such a huge monumental thing personally, on a personal level. I think anyone who is an endurance runner, we do these things out of selfishness. We do these things because we want to almost prove it to ourselves because we want to go and do it, to show ourselves that we can do it, and we can achieve. And I never thought I could have completed something of that kind of nature. I really tried to keep my cool and keep calm on the morning because I was in bed on a Friday night going, I'm in the worst Airbnb in the world, that stank of cigarettes with mold, going, why the F am I here?
What the fuck?
I
Do I
know, I
need to
couldn't
coach you
afford.
into booking Airbnbs as
Well,
well?
it was because I already paid for this Airbnb that I'm currently in Brighton, and then a second Airbnb to do at the same time.
Yeah, and it was in
Oh.
London, so I'm not really surprised. Their Airbnb listings, I think, are a bit loose. They're a bit free and loose with the
I
truth.
mean, it was a rent a room situation above a derelict abandoned pub with smashed windows. I was like, ah, that wasn't on the advert. But I thought, okay, just try and relax. I spent 3 hours looking at my running pack, going, how do I pack this? How do I pack it again? And I had forgotten everything, got everything. And I laid it all out on my bed, packed it all. That's wrong. Unpacked it, repacked it, unpacked it, repacked it. So I was just trying to go, what is the best thing on the day?
What was that?
Sorry?
How helpful was that to you?
Very little. Yeah, I know. Hindsight.
I'd rather you did that than drank 8 pints of beer, because that's what I used to do. As I used to go down to the derelict pub and drink 8 pints of beer.
Yeah. And then on the morning, went down there and I got in the taxi, go down to the start line, and he said, oh, you're running today? You're in it. Like, yes, I'm running today. Is it a marathon? I went, no, it's an ultra. I'm running to Brighton. He went, no, you'll die. I was like, well, I'm doing it anyway. If I die, I die. You see
No,
me in the news.
you'll die. Okay, I won't then. Thank you for the input. I wish someone had said this to me before.
I know. And yeah, it was, I was very nervous. I got in. I had a glorious moment because I was meant to be charged 20 quid for my drop bag, and I wasn't. So I was like, haha, winning at life.
In your face, the man. Huh.
I know, I
Sticking it to
know.
the man.
But the problem is, but that's the problem. I then met some people at the start line who we had chatted via Instagram, a girl called Chloe, who's lovely, doing her first 100K as well. And then Mel and Joe, and they walked up to me and they went, oh, here he is, the local celebrity. And everyone looks around and they go, oh, don't do that to me. No, stop it. Stop it. That was
I saw
awkward.
some selfies in the start line, and people being like, oh,
Yes.
it's a podcast pen.
Yeah, I know. It's lovely. And then, yeah, and we ran the first 13K together. I then went to the loo and lost all everybody, which happened. And yeah, it was, I tried to remain as calm as I could. I was like, okay, it's just a long run. You know what to do, it's just running. And keep moving forward. Forward is a pace. Keep going. Don't let things worry you. If it's a problem, sort it out. If it's a aid station, get water, eat something. If it's a hill, eat something. If in doubt, eat something. And have a nice time. I have like so many different podcasts to listen to. I have so many different audiobooks I downloaded. I listen to fuck all.
I love it when that happens.
I know.
I've bought the Prince Harry book a while ago,
Oh
like when it first
God.
came out, 15 hours long.
About his penis.
Yeah, the one about the Elizabeth Arden 8 hour cream and his penis. And it's still on my phone waiting for the moment I
Oh.
need it, because I'm like, at some point in an ultra I'll need something where it's completely mindless, where I'll just be like, I need that now. So that's, but I still haven't listened to it. But I thought I would listen to it. I thought I would listen to it like the arc or like a really long training one. Nah, not got to that point yet. So we know it's a bad situation when I listen to the Prince Harry audiobook.
Well, we'll wait for that for my Instagram stories. Yes, the day has come.
So what? How was the run then? Was there a point where you were like, oh God, I can't do this? Like, was there sadness? Was there joy? What happened?
There
Give us a brief debrief.
wasn't the only moment that I thought, like, I can't do this was at the very end. So the actual work running up to it, I knew that my goal number one is always get to the next aid station. Tick them off. The main goal was to get to 58 kilometers, which was Tully's Farm, the pseudo halfway point. I said, just get to there, because that's where my mum was, my friends were. I could change all of my clothes. And it was getting warmer and warmer. So, okay, let's just get changed. Have a time. If you need, I can change my shoes, change my socks, have some food. I said, let's get to that point. And then you leave that aid station and you go, right, I've now got 40 odd kilometers still to go. Okay, carry on. The 60 to 70 kilometer mark, that really, it felt like time was standing still.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so 60 to 75, because I was going so slow. Okay, because my legs kept cramping up. I thought, what the hell's going on? I've never had to this point before. So having all my salt bits and bobs, having more water, having more food, and I was getting slower and slower and slower. I thought, what the F am I doing? I went past a co-op and I bought a bottle of Pepsi Max because
Oh.
at that moment I just want I thought it was ice cold. I stood there paying for it and my hand was shaking at the thing. And the guy next to me went, mate, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, have you been from London? I went, yeah. He was like, oh wow. I was like, yeah, leave me alone. I'm going to crack on now. Off I went down this road. Yeah, 60, yeah, 60, 60 to 75. I was really struggling. Not struggling. I was just like, time was going really slowly. I was like, 61. How has it only been like, it's been like, it's just been like half an hour. I've done 1 kilometer. What the hell's going on? And then I got about 75, had something to drink, turned my phone on. You sent me a voice note that was quite, what's the word, direct, where it said, my clients don't walk this in. You gotta start running again. And so I was like, okay. And I was like, so I just
It
like
didn't
got very
say
emotional.
my clients don't walk this in. It said, Dean, you are going to have to start running again at some point. Because I'd noticed that your track had slowed right down. And I was like,
Yeah.
you're walking. And I know, and because of the time you'd done the first half in,
Yeah.
and because I got a voice note from you and I could hear you weren't dying, I was like, he's got to fucking start running. Because what the thing is, once you start walking, I mean, you might have found
Yeah.
this. I find once I start walking, then I end up doing lots of walking. And
Yes.
because it's like you've broken the walking seal. So I was like, I do not want you walking this in because I know that you've got more in you. And that's why I sent you that voice. You're gonna have to start
I
running at
wish
some point.
I wish I listened to it about 2 hours before.
Oh, well, I didn't send it 2 hours before. I didn't send it 2 hours before. Oh, no, actually, maybe I did. 58K. I sent it actually left Tully's farm. So I don't know what time you listened to it.
But when I listened to it though, and that's what I started running again. So I ran hobbled for about 5K, and that's when you accosted me a field, and that's when
That
you
was
I was like, yes,
just before Wivelsfield, that was. That was about 80K, wasn't it?
yeah. So from about 75 to 80, I hobbled and ran. Thank God I listened to a voice note because you just shouted at me when you met me.
I would have been fucking texting you. I would have tried to call you, but if you had your phone off, you twat.
Well, out on flight mode to save battery, you see. And then I got to 80K, and then met you, met Steph and Danielle, and yeah, and then he was at the next sort of 10K of that. We hobbled and ran and walked, and we got it done. And then
I
that
think
giant
hobbled
hill.
is the wrong word because you weren't injured and you were not at any point when I saw you hobbling. You were jogging. That's what you were doing. You were jogging with the girls. How did you? We obviously, Steph and Danielle, the pacing team, that was a surprise pacing team for you. How did you feel when you realized you had a surprise pacing team?
I actually said, "Oh, thank God."
You were gonna say, I thought, oh, fuck off.
No. I was like, because I had been on my own at that point for maybe 6 hours. Like, no one was going with me. If I saw people, it'd be like really quick in passing because they were either going too slow or too fast. And so I hadn't like spoken to anybody in a while, like for a decent amount of time. And so to have someone there to go, okay, we're getting through this, everything is fine, we're gonna take care of you. I was like, oh, thank you. And I've grown up in a world of strong women. So thank God it's all ladies here, thank God for that.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to get Sean Danny Dyer out. Can you imagine if I had presented you with Sean Dyer and he was like, we're going to start dropping 8 minute miles now, mate? Talk
Yeah,
about the lads. Hey.
I might punch him. Thanks.
He
No.
couldn't reach, he's too tall. I tried punching him in the face. I ended up just kicking him in the chest. Yeah, it's quite annoying.
Really?
So what did you talk about on your little pacing trip? Was it fun? Did you not say
What was
anything and
it?
just let them talk shit?
What did you talk about? Long time ago. We talked about what I've been listening to, what I've been eating. I've had so many different musicals. I listen to all of the Sound of Music. I listened to Mary Poppins and Chicago. It's great. I loved it.
God, I hope Hannah Rickman's listening to this. She's going to be so proud of you. You
Indeed.
employed the Rickman technique.
And yeah, just I knew that the balls of my feet were getting more and more painful. And I couldn't work out what, and I kept taking my socks off, going, there must be something, there was nothing. What is, I couldn't work out. Just too much time, too much pressure on the front of them. So that was really starting to slow me down. But
They
you
were they
know,
just sore?
yeah, just really sore.
Did you do anything about that?
I did it, I did at 70K and then just stopped.
So what did you do? Did you change your socks?
Yes, and then put more lubricant on them, and then from that point, just get to the end, which
So
is a bad choice.
with that listener, like it is just the pounding of the foot hitting the if your feet shoes aren't really cushioned, if your feet aren't really mine are like my feet are like gnarled old goat's hooves, so they're like conditioned to that. But if it's a really so if the ground's really solid, it can really make them sore. So two tips: one, I have in my pack in my little emergency kit a Bonjela, and if you put Bonjela onto the balls of your feet, it's an analgesic, so it actually just stops them from hurting for about 20 minutes. So I've used that before. I used that on Britannia, and then just take a couple of painkillers. Not NSAIDs, but something like Anadin, paracetamol, because you're not. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just a bit of pain, and you don't need to be suffering with the pain. So, like, just say to yourself, "I don't. This is pain I don't need to suffer with. I'm going to put a little bit of a couple of paracetamol, or a little bit of Anadin into my body, and crack a lack on." But we did have quite an interesting conversation, didn't we? When we were, I was pacing you. I was running you into Plumpton, and you were like, my feet, you said something about your feet and something about your balls. And I said, your feet can wait, but we really do need to sort out your balls. And you were like, no, the balls of my feet. I was like, oh, okay. That could have gone a completely different way.
Yes, it could have.
You could have ended up with me cupping your balls.
You were genuinely concerned and confused. I was
I
like,
was concerned for your balls. I was concerned
I
for
was
ball
pointing at
shape.
my feet and you went, right.
Yeah, I was like, what we're gonna I don't want to have to look at this, that's for sure. I don't like having to have to look at it.
Very
But I do need to sort
intimate.
it out. Did you have anything else? Was there any other chafe issues? Was there any other like pain issues?
Very small amount on the middle part of my back. I think it's we finished the last like 7K in quite a lot of rain.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It was so bad. It wasn't quite a lot of rain. It was a fucking
Physical.
tsunami storm.
Honestly, I was walking on an A road for 4 kilometers uphill in this rain. I was like, I just wanted, and I was being the worst person to myself. I was shouting out loud at myself, calling myself every name under the sun. Mainly about that I was such a fucking fat cunt. If you were faster, you would
You
have
just
finished it
dropped the
quicker.
C bomb on the podcast.
Sorry.
That's the first
Sorry.
time it's been dropped. I love it.
Ever? Oh no.
Yeah, I haven't even
It's
dropped that. And you've been
that's
saying
surprising.
effing this and effing that, but you've actually just dropped the C bomb. We don't apologize for that, listener. This is great stuff.
But I was it was just the worst things ever. Like, you deserve this. You can't finish it. You're not good enough for this. What the hell did you do this? And because I couldn't see much in front of me. It all across my glasses. I made the stupid error of when I was unpacking my bag, I put my jacket into my drop bag and then didn't put it back in again. Oh, I'll be fine. Nope. Stupid. Stupid, Dean.
Not stupid, it's just learning. It just like when you, I knew I was driving towards the race course and it's that, and the heavens just opened and I couldn't see. And I had to slow down to like 10 miles an hour because it was that bad. It was like wind, rain. I was like, oh shit. And I thought to myself, he hasn't got his waterproof because I thought to myself, because that's the sort of thing that you do when you first start running these ultras, you put suntan lotion on, you chuck your waterproof back into your other bag because you think you're not going to need it. But that's why we carry a mandatory hill kit all the time, come rain or shine, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yes, and so But the thing is, it was almost like serendipity because I thought, okay, it's the last bit. We can do this, just crack on. It's a lot of uphill in the last bit as well, which is annoying. But I put on like my ultra fun, super cheesy playlist. So there's lots of Steps and Jerry Halliwell.
Oh God,
Your
Jerry
favorite.
Halliwell is the worst.
Yes. Yes. So there was one funny moment where I was chomping along this A road, being really angry at myself, and in torrential rain. I couldn't see, my eyes were gone, and on my head was, "Look at me." Da, 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 da. I was like, "No, I know." And I'm getting there, and I kept stumbling over because the ground was getting more and more wet. I was going traily bits, like, "Oh God." And then I see the 99-kilometer mark. Well, first I see that my watch tick over to 100K. And I was like, great, cool,
I'm
keep going.
stopping. It's over. We're done
Literally.
here.
Yeah. We'll die on this hill.
Hello, is that the
And
race
then
director? Could you please come and pick me up? Because I'm done here.
and then I got to the 99K mark, and I could see the edge of the race course, which I see because I've watched a lot of videos about it, people running it, filming themselves. And I knew the very last bit, you go around over the edge of the track. And I saw the big white railing, and I ran towards it. And then I immediately walked into this puddle that was a foot deep, both of my feet. And I stood
Oh,
there. And I was like, fuck's sake. It's like, as I had to get myself out of that puddle. And then at that point, the song Chain Reaction came on, which is
my God, amazing.
the Steps cover. And I'm just chomping along on this with my poles.
I think the best song that could have come on then would be The Edge of Glory by Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga.
Oh,
Oh, The Edge of Glory is such a
no.
good song for when
It
you're
is a great.
just
It's
about to finish the fucking
a
race.
great song. No, I actually put on a song by, I can never pronounce her. It's like Vanessa Esposito. She's an Australian person, and it's called Heroes Live Forever. It was the theme tune to the year 2000 Sydney Olympics.
Of course it was. And of course that's what you were listening to as she came over the finish line.
It's a gay person's classic. It's very high pitched, it's
A
very
gay
emotional.
person's classic. Is it not just like a
Yeah.
gay anthem? Is that not what they call it nowadays?
That's probably a better way of saying it.
Beautiful. So how were the feels when you came over the finish line then?
The field or the fields?
The feels. I don't know what the field was like. I was standing in it, mate. It was wet and it was cold and it was muddy. But what were the feels like?
it was like every emotion because I was coming along and I couldn't quite work out where the end was because it was so wet and the wind was so much and in the dark. I was like, is that the end? Is this the end? I thought there was an end bit because there was like two things either side. What looked like people in boxes, no, it was just glow sticks and something. And but yeah, I heard, I think it was my mum shouting from probably, I don't know, 400 meters away. I immediately went, up this hill. And yeah, and there's lots of emotions. It was a relief to say, thank God it's over. It was a lot. I ne never thought this would be my life. I never thought I'd be able to do that. I'm gonna cry. Never thought I could do that little thing. And was a lot. The last few years have been such a transformative time, and I'm so grateful and so overwhelmed. It was Saturday was the best word is overwhelmed. There was so much support and so much love and so much camaraderie between not only the runners, but from you and my friends and family. The podcast community have been incredible. Incredible. I never thought this would ever be my life. And I feel like I'm just the luckiest fucker in the world. And I know I've put in the hard work, I've put in all the strength conditioning stuff, I've done all of this. I've paid and booked for the races. I've done them all. But what's got me to the end is the support level. I got in, and It didn't end as I wanted. I wanted it ended like the glory and not the rain in a funky outfit that you bought me, but I didn't have time to change. It was too wet.
It never ends like you think it's going to end, because the
I
thing is, Dean,
know.
spoiler alert, it's not the end.
The thing is,
So
because you think you're going to run in there and there'll be fireworks and cheerleaders and confetti. And you go, you have one man going, all done.
yeah, and it's 1 o'clock, it's half past one in the morning, and it's raining, and everybody's cold
Everyone
and
should go
tired.
home.
Yeah, fucks off. But for you, like, that is a, you'll never forget that. You'll never, ever forget that. London to Brighton was my first 100K, and I'll never forget. And even going down there, and like, I could relive that last 10K, because I stopped at 99K for a cry, because I didn't want my niece to see me crying for some weird reason. She ran out to meet me. And you'll never forget that. And I hold that in. And like, I think honestly, it's having fewer people at the end and having that, you know, the irony is no one gives a shit. It's something you've done for yourself. Like, it's your thing. And it just makes it all the more incredible. Like, you know, there's so much shit on the internet of people believe achieve and people doing these great, big, huge, enormous feats of endurance and or saying they're going to do something and then not fucking doing it, or pretending to train for something and not, because they like the version of themselves they are when they finish a race, not the version when they're training. But your journey has been documented by yourself and obviously the podcast for 30 weeks. And we have seen the highs. I've seen, me and Anna have seen the highs and lows. We've spoken to each other every 2 weeks, haven't we, on Zoom for like the last 30 weeks. We've been on WhatsApp together. There's been times when you've been like, I'm really fucking tired, I can't do it. There's been times when I'm like, put your big girl pants on and crack on. Like, you haven't missed a fucking session. Like, you have turned up and shown up for everything that we asked you to do. And it's been fucking hard work. And it was intense. It was intense training, because it was only, you know, it was less than a year. But you've absolutely nailed it. And not only that, you've done it with good grace, with humor. You've loved every second of it, as far as I know. And you haven't got injured. Like, we've shown you can do this shit and you have not injured yourself. And I'm so fucking proud of you. I'm proud of the work you've done. And I just want people to understand this is real. Like, this is what it takes. You have sacrificed stuff. You have, but now you're at that point where you're a 100K runner. That endurance will last you a lifetime. You'll never have to go through that like super intense training block stuff again, because as long as you maintain, you better do what the fuck you want. So yeah, just know that me and Anna are like absolutely so proud of you. You did this yourself. And I will be the first person to admit, when it didn't go the way that you wanted it to go at Big Bear, I was worried. But it shows it doesn't matter. And even I, as a really experienced coach who knows that shit doesn't matter, was worried. But you just nailed it. I couldn't believe like the way you were running when I saw you. I saw you from Wivelsfield onwards. It was like you hadn't done anything. You were in the badlands of your brain. You were like, I've never done this before. But still, you were like, whatever. La 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 la. I was like, Jesus
I
fucking
mean,
Christ,
I
he's like a
may have come
cartoon
across
character.
that to you. The inner monologue was slightly different.
But you were running at the end. There was no hobbling in at the end. You were running in. You ran that in. And that was absolutely fucking brilliant. And you did so fucking well.
Thank
So I'm
you.
so proud of you. Now, the last couple of things, numero uno, that is Italian for number one.
Yes.
Do you know? What's next?
Dragon's back.
Dragon's back. Brilliant. Sounds good. Are you planning on doing it over 6 days or just going to do it all in one day?
I was thinking half a day.
Punchy. Who's got decided who's going to coach you for that?
Probably you.
I'm not going to pass you over to one of the lesser known coaches for that.
Oh, no, I what's next?
You kept
I've
saying the
run.
spine at the end of the race. He kept talking
I
about the
kept
spine,
joking to
spine, the
this, I
spine, the
know.
spine. I was like, is he joking though? Because I really hope
No,
he's joking.
of course I'm fucking joking. Gemma Harris, the beautiful Gemma Harris. Oh, we talk a lot via Instagram, and she he was talking about the Epona 100. And he goes,
That
don't.
sounds a
I
lot
think
like, do you know what Epona means?
a horse.
Yeah, you're making the noises like a horse now. You're like,
So I do, but I said maybe next year, let's just do a few more 100 Ks
a
and
few more
see.
hundred Ks.
Maybe me too, and just see how my body reacts to that. And maybe one day, maybe a 2026 goal, maybe of a 100 miler.
Did you
Which one?
enjoy, what
Don't
did you
know.
enjoy? Did you enjoy the trail aspect of it? Like, what did you enjoy about it? Because I think with, when you're looking forward, a really important thing is to go, what parts of that did I hate and do I not want to do again? And what parts did I love? And then you develop the love for the bits that you like. So with me, it was always, I don't like roads anymore. I like trail now. So I'm like, that's how I got, really got into trail running.
I was a bit gutted about how much road there was, because in my brain it was going to be more trail on this. I appreciate there was quite a lot of rerouting, just of how boggy and wet it's been since the dawn of time, it feels like. There's lots of that, so there was more road than normal because of all that stuff, but I'd like to do more traily ones. I just need to get my ass in the air and get out and do less road stuff. I have booked in the lap around Windermere.
Beautiful.
Just a casual 75K, so a nice
It's
morning jog.
40 however miles. Start doing things in miles. You're an ultra runner now. You're not a
45,
cyclist.
47 miles.
Yeah. And actually, that's quite got quite a lot of hard packed trail on it. It's a bit like road. It's got some
It
road on it as
does.
well.
It does. So it has double the elevation of London to Brighton in a shorter distance. So I was like, okay, just a sort of terrain uphill for that. More stepping
My
routines.
advice would be go to the Lake District and have a look at it.
Yes.
Get yourself a little holiday to the Lake District. And if you want to do trail, go and actually find some trails. Like go and
Yes.
like really invest in finding some trails. Crack on with that Big Bear stuff because that's good. And make sure you get some decent shoes. I would recommend the Innovate Trail Flies. Perfect.
Thank you.
The clue's in the name, guys. And then when it gets really muddy in the winter, get yourself some mud talons because they're brilliant fun. They're so grippy, you can just like splash around like Peppa Pig in them.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, it's just the name of the game right now is just enjoy. I did a bit of a scattergun approach because I've done what, five marathons, now three ultras in 8 months. So maybe
Have a
slowing down a
rest.
bit.
Have a
Yeah, slowing
rest.
down a bit. And picking races that I really want to do, not just because I'm free that day.
Yeah. Have a rest. And then when you're ready to come back, just give us a nod so we can have a little look and make sure we're not overdoing it. And what's going to happen, and dear listener, what's going to happen it next is we are taking on another podcast pet. So when I told Dean this, I thought he was going to cry because I think he thought he'd be the podcast pet forever. But like Blue Peter, when the dogs get old, just before they go off to the Rainbow Bridge, we're not putting Dean down. They get a puppy, don't they? So that's what we're going to do. And then Dean will be the bigger dog. He'll be the big dog daddy Dean. And so we will be, when Anna returneth from babying, taking on a new podcast pet. We will tell you when that's going to be. You can send in your applications to become a podcast pet. And Dean will be on the advisory board and he will be your mentor. He'll be the mentor man. And me and Anna will once again take the baton and take whatever what the podcast pet wherever they want to go, as long as it's not somewhere really hard like Tour de Gion. Or so Damien, you can't apply for podcast pet. And lastly, Dean, I am giving you the golden ticket to the playlist. You are
Oh.
allowed to pick three songs, and I'm not allowed to say no. So you're allowed to pick three songs for the playlist. What are those songs going to be? Yes, you have to do it now.
Okay, so
I haven't given you time to
I
think about this on purpose
you haven't
because I
at
didn't
all,
want you to
haven't at
think
all.
about it too much.
So first one, Celine Dion, River Deep Mountain High.
What the fuck? Can we not have the
It's
original?
no, it's it has a like 60 second bongo solo in the middle.
Okay,
It's
that's good.
great.
Nobody
It's a
asked for
really
that.
great running song. Christina Aguilera, Fighter.
Oh, classic.
Pull Me Out of Many Holes. Not a euphemism. And
You see the video for that song?
yeah, I would. So Stripped was the first album I bought with my own money. I know, because I liked Dirty and Beautiful. I was like, yeah,
Course you did.
and I was like 11 watching that, being obsessed with Christina Aguilera in leather chaps covered in ears.
Honestly, like those videos, those David LaChapelle videos are my absolute favorite, like to this day. Of all the music videos, I just think they're fucking
Yeah.
incredible.
Yes. And obviously then there was a rapper, which you have to pronounce as Redman, the surname.
Redman.
Redman, not
Redman.
Redman.
Or is it like Alban?
Last one. It's the brother.
Yeah.
And then the third option, I think you're gonna know what it is. I made you play it on the trails.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be Jerry Halliwell. I thought it was going to be
No,
Jerry Halliwell.
you
And
just
I was going
say
to have to be like, I
it's
can't.
it is the song I Have Confidence from The Sound of Music by Julie Andrews. Because I know how much you hate it. If you ever listen to the playlist and it comes on, you'll think of me and go, fuck's sake, Dean.
Exactly. It's probably going to come on at quite an integral point as well, isn't it? When I
Yeah.
decide to do the Winter Spider, it'll come on just as I'm going over Crossfell, and I'll be like, for fuck!
But you're in the depths of despair. I have played that song before, like my driving test when I passed it, before job interviews, and just a crack on, listen to it, get on with it, because it's a very happy song.
Well,
And yes, it's my childhood.
we have had. Not that you want to be reminded of your childhood, but I'm
Yeah.
desperately still trying to run away from mine. We have had the best time with you, Dean, and I'm so grateful that you were vulnerable and kind and sweet and like honest enough to take this on, because it takes a lot to be honest, right? Like, you could have, when you didn't finish that bit Big Bear, you could have made all the fucking excuses under the sun, but you didn't. You were just like, just wasn't my dad, didn't want it enough. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. I'm not, haven't got enough experience. That is so inspiring to people because it's fucking honest. And that is why we love you. And I am so proud of you. And I'm excited to see what you do in the future. And Dean is one of our social secretaries. He's over on Facebook, shepherding people around. He's on Instagram at Running Cox. He's on OnlyFans at Running Cox. He's not on OnlyFans yet. Are you on OnlyFans?
Yes, I've made my own about cooking. It's called Only Flans.
Only Flans. He's on Only Flans as Running Cox. That's COCKS. And yeah, I just wanted to say thank you. Well done, and enjoy your rest, basically.
Thank you. I currently can't walk very far because of the blisters on the balls of my feet.
Is there
So
actually
I'm
blisters
having
on them? What have you
horrifically.
done? Have you sliced them yet? Sliced and diced
No.
them? Are they full of
No.
fluid?
No. They're
Are they
just.
not? Oh.
I've pseudo-cremed them and I've just let them dry
Oh, okay.
and
So
just.
they're not full of fluid.
No.
Oh, okay. They'll be all right then. You'll be fine.
Oh, they'll be absolutely fine. It's just. Yeah, but it means I'm forcibly having to go very slow and not do many steps. It's probably a good thing.
No, you need to rest. You need to eat lots of protein. You need to drink lots of milk or milk alternatives, and have a nice rest, and give your mum a big kiss because she's amazing. And
I know.
that's all for now, listener. We'll be back next week with more of the same. Love you. Bye.
We did. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System, sponsored by Innovate. You know how much we love you. We love you a lot. We'd love you even more if you hopped onto the old socials and dropped us a follow. We're on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Ultrasound System and we'll pop up. Or you can email us at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Drop us a DM, a VM, whatever you fancy. Let us know your stories, because without you, we would have absolutely nothing to talk about. And if you've got the time, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you get your pods on. It helps with discovery. Ooh, discovery. Okay, that's it. We love you. Till next week. Bye-bye.